you know that when your eyes close here, that when they open there, the first face you'll see, like the blind man, is Jesus's.
Pastor Chris Roseborough, host of Fighting for the Faith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
This is the gospel. It's Jesus. And when you take these texts and make them about you, you miss him. And you leave yourself with no hope. And our hope is in him.
You can listen to Chris's entire presentation and teachings by Craig Parton, Matt Harrison, Al Schmidt, Will Whedon, and Jonathan Fisk on a new audio DVD for the 2014 Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'm going to spend some time with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith for the next few minutes. The story of Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill Church in Seattle is, well, it's a story that kind of keeps on giving, to put it crassly. Where did it start? First came to my attention in a serious way when it had to do with charges of plagiarism. And when those charges of plagiarism, both on the website and in various publications, including books published by Mark Driscoll of Mars Hill, the publisher, Tyndale House, stood behind its author and said, look, we're going to defend him against these charges of plagiarism. In a sense, those charges of plagiarism redounded to them as well. But now they have recently said that they are not going to reprint his old book and that they've put his new book that was slated for publication in the near future on hold. Why the change? Joining us for an update on Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor, Mark Driscoll. Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back, Todd.
Tyndale House was pretty much in Mark Driscoll's corner in some of the most in the midst of some of the most heated accusations, pretty amazing accusations of plagiarism. Why are they now backing off?
Well, they're backing off, but they're being very careful how they're how this is being explained. Warren Throckmorton, earlier in the week, basically wrote a story for the Daily Beast, you know, talking about how Mark Driscoll's books have been placed on hold, and there's questions as to whether or not his current book is going to be republished. And then Tyndale House turned around and was claiming that Throckmorton had gone too far, and that they absolutely intend to publish Driscoll's books, and that the relationship hasn't been severed, but still his new book, which was slated to be released in February of this year, then was pushed back till fall of this year, has been pushed back again, and now the date is, you know, there's no firm date as to when it's going to be published. And so what's clearly happening is that, you combine this news with the news coming out of Mars Hill about dramatic drops in attendance and giving at Mars Hill, it's becoming clear that Mark Driscoll isn't the publishing golden goose that he has been in the past, and that Tyndale is not rushing to publish more Mark Driscoll books. And I think it looks like they're waiting for things to settle down a little bit and for Mark Driscoll his image to somewhat rebound, although that doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon.
So it sounds like it's far from being maybe even theological or moral concerns. This is just a publisher saying, look, we published this book, and it's going to be gone over with a fine-tooth comb the instant it hits the shelves, and someone's going to find something in this. Or if they do, we just don't want to take the chance. Someone's going to find something in this that Driscoll didn't write, and there we are right back where we began.
Well, yeah, it may be that. I mean, clearly they've got to take some time and make sure that there isn't any plagiarism in the new book. But the other issue comes down to, you know, what is the market now for Mark Driscoll's books? With the plagiarism scandal that broke at the end of last year, with the New York Times best-selling gaming scandal that broke at the beginning of this year, and then kind of continued many scandals. A big story that hit maybe about a month ago was that Mark Driscoll was requiring people on staff at Mars Hill to sign a non-compete clause, basically saying that if you're on staff here at Mars Hill and you decide that you want to go minister at another church, you have to agree to not minister at a church, any church that's within a 10-mile radius of an existing Mars Hill satellite campus, which basically would mean that pastors at Mars Hill are agreeing not to preach the gospel anywhere in what's kind of become known as the greater non-compete zone of Western Washington, which, kind of begs the question, since when did the gospel become something that we don't want to have other people competing with and all this kind of stuff? So it's like scandal after scandal after scandal, and now the question arises with the attendance dropping, giving dropping at Mars Hill, what is the market out there for people who are like diehard Mark Driscoll fanboys, who, regardless of what he publishes, will go out and purchase it? I mean, this ultimately, at the end of the day, Tyndale House has to make a decision. If we're going to be publishing a book, are we going to make a profit on it? Will our investment in it be paid back? Clearly there's some concerns and questions about that as far as Driscoll is concerned and his marketability.
Chris, put the puzzle pieces together for a second. There's a lot more that we can talk about here in a minute, but just with regard to how necessary it is for a rock star pastor in the kind of present, galaxy of American evangelicalism today, how important it is that you have best-selling books. If Mark Driscoll, he has had, by hook or crook, best-selling books. But if you don't have one, can you maintain your rock star status and empire?
The answer is no, and it is critical that the upper echelon of the seeker-driven network of pastors. That's kind of what the echelon you want to put these guys into. It's not enough in the purpose-driven, seeker-driven networks that a pastor is successful at building a megachurch. If somebody's actually successfully getting numbers and having a huge draw, then what's also necessary is that that person then be kind of put forward before the rest of the seeker-driven megachurches and their pastors at conferences as the guy who's pulling it off, the one you want to listen to. And so there's a lot of money that exchanges hands as far as speaking fees at major conferences, books then to kind of keep the excitement and the churning going. But then also on the side, you've got a lot of these megachurch pastors are also doing consulting work. And so if you are an up-and-coming seeker-driven pastor, whether you're in the Acts 29 Network, the Willow Creek Association, or Leadership Network or something like that, oftentimes seeker-driven church planters are looking for mentors and coaches, and there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of money being made by men like Mark Driscoll and others who, because they've done it, they've succeeded, they, for a fee, will be happy to coach you, as a seeker-driven pastor. And so there's a whole industry that that is vital for the seeker-driven network to function and foster itself. And so it's absolutely imperative that their top rock stars maintain a good market share, because that then leads to bigger financial ventures, if you would, and kind of the promoting and cultivating of that whole seeker-driven ecclesiastical model.
Okay, let's talk about the financial woes, in a lot of ways, consequence of the scandal that's swirled around Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill for, well, at least 2 years now, but more intensely in the last 6 or 8 months. What has been the most recent downfall in terms of Mars Hill as an organization?
Well, let me back that up just a little bit and explain something about the seeker-driven ecclesiastical model. There is a practice in seeker-driven churches. It goes by different names, but one of the most prominent names that it has, it's called dressing for the wedding. You know, I don't know if we've discussed this on air at Issues, etc., but the idea is this, is that there is pressure put on seeker-driven pastors to constantly grow. And so they kind of artificially keep the pressure up high by encouraging seeker-driven megachurch pastors to constantly be in debt and kind of leverage their success and put them in a situation where if they don't continue to grow, then what will happen is they won't be able to make to basically pay their bills. And a lot of their bills are wrapped up in large loans, multi-million-dollar loans. They buy office buildings and they rent different meeting spaces and things like that. Now, Mars Hill is very similar in that sense, that they have engaged in this practice, and they have a huge amount of debt associated with their very rapid and aggressive growth. But with the scandals that have hit, what that has done, it has basically shaved off their growth. They're not growing anymore. Instead, they're shrinking. And yet, everything that they leveraged and got themselves in debt to was based upon a constant growth forecast. So they've got themselves in a pickle. And that is that the debt that they've incurred, the expenses that they have incurred at Mars Hill across their different multi-site campuses, all was based upon a financial forecast of increasing growth. And with the major scandals that have hit, it's actually, they're not growing, they're actually shrinking in numbers of attenders as well as, giving is concerned. And so now they've got themselves in a dire situation, one where they're going to need to sell assets. They're already laying off staff. I mean, they're going to have to make some decisions along the lines of shrinking their organization and their overall monthly bills. Otherwise, they could face a cataclysmic bankruptcy situation.
Chris, with a few minutes here, I recently read a blog post from a guy who had been pretty key in Mark Driscoll's organization from the time he was 18 till he was 28. He kind of came up through the ranks, became essentially conference coordinator for Driscoll, traveled with him. They dined with the glitterati of American evangelicalism, and he became extremely disillusioned and left. Is that a story? Is that a unique story for kind of Mars Hill refugees?
I wouldn't say it's a unique story per se, because I've been in contact with people who've had similar positions and similar disenchantment working for other prominent megachurch pastors, and unfortunately they haven't gone public with their stories. And so what's unique about this story is that the guy's willing to talk about it publicly, or hasn't signed a non-disclosure requiring that he not talk about it. The way the seeker-driven church movement works is that people who are on staff and doing support work for the seeker-driven megachurch pastor, they are required to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which basically puts a gag order on them, threatening them with a civil suit if they divulge the details of things that have happened while they were working for the megachurch pastor. In this particular case, it's not a unique story, but what's unique is the fact that he's publicly talking about it, and I was actually surprised that he was doing so. Maybe because he was so early in the movement, he didn't have to sign an NDA, and as a result of it, we can actually see the story itself.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. He'll be with us for about another 10 minutes on the other side of the break. We're getting an update on Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor, Mark Driscoll. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Find a link to that at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Hymnody is important, very important. It's an invaluable tool that helps teach and confess the faith. Singing hymns is something we all do together on a weekly basis, yet some congregations find it difficult to sing confidently without the support of an instrument. If you are one of these congregations that can't find an organist, Church Music Solutions can help. Our substitute organist service allows your hymns and liturgy to be played on your instrument to help inspire and support your congregation's song. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi. This is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway will present the inaugural Village Lutheran Lecture on Christianity and Culture July 19th, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Village Lutheran Church, Ladue, Missouri. Her topic will be Tales from the Front, Religious Liberty and the Media, July 19th, 9 to 11 a.m. at Village Lutheran Church, 9237 Clayton Road in Ladue, Missouri. We invite you to join us for this free and highly beneficial opportunity.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting an update on Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor Mark Driscoll with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. Chris, before the break, we were talking about kind of the very public exodus of one of Mark Driscoll's longtime associates. We're talking about someone who's been with the organization from the time he was 18 years old. Refers to himself as a former true believer with Driscoll and working very closely with him for about 10 years. I want to quote from his withdrawal letter when he withdrawed his membership. He and his wife withdrawed their membership, and I'd like you to interpret it for us if you could. And this is Mike Anderson writing. He says, I've been holding out for 18 months of 90-degree turns. Over 100 of my co-laborers have been pushed out or jumped out of the plane. I'm not panicking. I'm not storming the cabin. The captain and his attendants keep saying that everything is fine, but the plane is not even close to a safe landing. It's breaking apart, and people are scattered everywhere. It's not potential danger. It is actual danger. And then he says, at the end of the day, the biggest issue is that, like the presuppositions of this article, I actually believed that Mark Driscoll was the pilot of the plane. That's a false gospel that I'm still repenting of, he says. What's he saying there?
Well, he's actually referring and referencing a blog post written by Mark Driscoll maybe about a year and a half ago called Always Trust Your Pilot. That was the name of the blog post. You can find it on the Resurgence website. And the basic idea is, listen, don't challenge your pilot. That would be Mark Driscoll and his, whoever his co-pilot is. They're in the front of the plane. They got all the data. You are in the back of the plane. Just trust them. They know what they're doing. And so in part what this is kind of a play off of that and basically saying, listen, the plane is breaking apart. The pilots clearly don't know what they're doing. And it's a false gospel to believe that Mark Driscoll is the pilot of the church. That is absolutely patently false. That would basically falls into the same category of error in that Rome has in claiming that the Pope is the visible vicar of Christ on earth. The pilot of the Christian church is Jesus Christ, not any of his under-shepherds. And so this is the reason why the plane is breaking apart, is because Mark Driscoll has usurped Christ's authority, and he continues to do things that are contrary to what God's Word expressly says, all in the name of, well, a good goal, you know, making disciples, preaching the gospel, and things like that. But as he's learned, the ends do not justify the means, and the way he's piloting the plane, which he shouldn't be doing, is causing great harm to people who are Christian believers. And many of them, after having been thrown off the plane or run over by the bus, they no longer attend church at all. They are literally the walking wounded.
Two quick final questions for you, Chris. No new book for now? Budget cuts, huge debt, scandal after scandal. What publishing house will sign him? Probably none of any great repute. Are we watching at least the beginning, not to be too premature, but the end of the Mars Hill Empire?
Well, for sure, we're watching the Mars Hill Empire experience shrinkage. Whether or not this will ultimately lead to its demise is kind of remains to be seen. Based upon kind of an objective outside observer, what it looks like they're trying to do is kind of, you know, shrink, hold, you know, basically stop the bleeding, and then sometime in the future try to find a way to turn their image around and grow again. But for right now, the thing that they are frantically trying to do at Mars Hill is survive to see another day, stop the bleeding, and then find a way to kind of, you know, get the resources realigned and see if they can't, you know, basically spiff up their tarnished image. So whether or not this will lead to the end of their empire remains to be seen, but clearly they're in panic mode and trying to find a way to survive, live another day.
Then with only 1 minute here, Chris, you've dealt with the refugees of this. You've talked about this for the better part of a decade now. Easily. What would you say to someone, one of our listeners, who's still sitting in a church like Mars Hill?
That the biblical gospel and the biblical Jesus is so much better, and that your allegiance isn't to a pastor or one of Christ's under-shepherds. Your real allegiance is to Jesus Christ, and the truth matters. And, what's happening at Mars Hill ultimately isn't helping the church or helping Christians, it's hurting them severely. And it's time to find a different church and to stop worshiping megachurch pastors and following people and perpetuating this cult of personality. The church has survived a long time before Mark Driscoll has come on the scene, and it will survive a long time after he's dead if Christ decides to tarry. And so it's time to take a hard look at the biblical priorities and make decisions accordingly.
Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.